grave, you dealing with some. We the lost symbols speaking cryptic codes. Ancient wisdom, valuable like gifts of gold. I embark on life, my path is all math. I understand the codes these hackers can't crack. I understand the folks expect me to fold. Community control to violate parole. I won't fail, but a lot of men will. I'm iconic in the field like Solomon's seal. It's just the intro. Allow my flow time to sink into the tempo. Freemason, freelancer, free agents, we faster. Big contracts, big contractors, built pyramids, period, we masters. No caterpillars, it was just a lot of great thinkers and a lot of great inventors. All white mansion, I'm the child of God. All black diamonds, times were hard. New Rolls Royce, guess you made it. All white neighborhoods, you they favorite. My top back like JFK. They wanna push my top back like JFK. So I JFK. Join forces with the kings and we ate all day. Right now I can rewrite history. I stop writing so I do it mentally. I go to the grave before I be a. Better behave, you dealing with some rich. Started in the ghetto, now we worldwide. Multiplying and I pray to God we never die. I go to the grave before I be a. Better behave, you dealing with some rich. Started in the ghetto, now we worldwide. Multiplying and I pray to God we never die.
Couldn't do nothing with me, they put the devil on me. How to prefer to squeeze the metal on me. Rumors of Lucifer, I don't know who to trust. Whole world want my demise, turn the music up. Hear me clearly, if y'all fear me, just say y'all fear me. All these fairy tales, go to hell, this is God engineering. This is a Hail Mary pass, y'all interfering. He without sin shall cast the first stone. So y'all look in the mirror, double check y'all parents. Y'all said I was amazing. Not that I'm a mason, it's amazing that I made it through the maze that I was in. Lord forgive me, I never would have made it without sin. Holy water, my face in the basin. Diamonds in my rosary shows he forgave him. I'm red hot, I'm on my third six, but a devil I'm not. My Jesus peace flooded, but thou should not covet. Keep your eyes on my covet, I'm a bad mother. So just say you love it.
I go to the grave before I be a. Better behave, you dealing with some rich. Started in the ghetto, now we worldwide. Multiplying and I pray to God we never die. I go to the grave before I be a. Better behave, you dealing with some rich. Started in the ghetto, now we worldwide. Multiplying and I pray to God we never die.
Ow, turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flowing, connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run a town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promised you wouldn't change me, but I would have went insane had I remained the same me. Niggas, it's true. All I got is this money. Listen to me. I've been up.
This is CKLN 88.1 FM. Licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
Published a three-part series. We won't, I mean, he's been going into publicly available databases. We'll leave it at that. He doesn't want them to close down the sources. The sources, if the information itself is public and verified, it's just that where Wayne's getting this, because they've been very secretive about clamping down his college records, high school records, passport, birth certificate, all of this. Wayne doesn't want him to shut down the source of this, as he's digging through it right now and finding even more, and is scheduled to go down there again today. I'll just leave it at that. But the story of Obama, all in the company, in three parts. We've got it linked up at Infowars.com. We've got the blurb written above it with some of the history of other presidents being intelligence assets. Bombshell, Barack Obama conclusively outed as CIA creation. And I've seen a lot of this info open source before, but Wayne's put it all together in one spot and found a lot of new data. And it's got to be a 25-page report, but I suggest you read it all. But here he is to go over it with us in the next 45 minutes to 50 minutes and to give us some new intel he's gotten. You can find it all in new developments at WayneMadsenReport.com, and we have it linked up at Infowars.com. He's getting so much traffic, it's barely staying up this morning. It's off and on. That's why we've got this key report, and we're thankful for him letting us mirror it at Infowars.com. Wayne, congratulations on your in-depth investigation. You've been in Chicago for weeks. You've been all over the country investigating this guy, and you've gotten some powerful info.
Oh, thanks, but I feel somewhat chagrined. I think all this information is what should have come out during the presidential campaign, not on a sitting president of the United States. And I really think that myself and other members of the media, I'm not counting the corporate media. They never touch these stories, but we really were remiss, I think, in delving into this guy's past during the campaign, which is what we've done with every other previous presidential candidate. And for some reason, I guess we all got hooked on the hopium with Obama.
Well, Bush was so bad, I don't blame people for wanting to get hooked on the hopium, but I saw his advisors and Wall Street doubling down on him. I knew McCain was bad, but clearly he was the establishment's heir apparent, and so that's why I saw through him.
Oh, absolutely. And now we hear today that one of the Kagan boys has been hired on as an advisor to General Petraeus. So what's the difference? You know, we had Obama speaking at the CIA headquarters, telling them, you know, how much he appreciates what they do, and don't worry about the investigations. Where he should have been kicking them for what they did during the renditioning in the secret prisons, and now we know about the latest one in Morocco, where we turned people over to have them tortured by the Moroccan secret police. So this is the guy that keeps on giving as long as you're, you know, CIA or the Pentagon, and I don't see any change. As a matter of fact, in some respects, I think he's worse.
Well, Wayne, I have to agree with you, unfortunately, because he brought left cover to this and a fresh face, and he's a better teleprompter reader. A lot of people went to sleep over the secret arrest, the expanding wars, the torture, America really losing its soul, and he's been protecting John Yoo and, of course, Alberto Gonzalez and Bush, and Bush feels so safe. 2 months ago, he said, yeah, I ordered torture. I'd do it again.
Oh, absolutely, And his Justice Department is going after Blagojevich again after all he got was a single count for lying to an FBI agent, and he wasn't even under oath. There's no transcript. He let the layoff on the Abrams deal. I mean, he's the gift that keeps on giving for the last people in the last administration.
Well, Wayne, stay there. We got a long segment coming up. Let's walk piece by piece through your bombshell report on the other side. We've got our preface at the top of it. Bombshell, Barack Obama conclusively outed as CIA creation. Investigative journalist Wayne Madsen is scheduled to appear live on this broadcast, and he's here now, Thursday, August 19th at 12 Central, to reveal his groundbreaking series on Barack Obama's true origins. Madsen will share the bombshell revelations and extensive information from the following three articles and even more that has not been revealed. Tell your friends, family, and contacts to tune in and learn the truth. Also visit thewaynemadsenreport.com for further research and other exclusive reports. And be sure and subscribe. And I mean, this guy formerly worked for the NSA, Naval Intelligence. He's written for some of the biggest publications in the country, Washington Post, you name it. He's a contributor to RT. He's a real patriot. His info is always borne out to be very accurate. He told me where he got this new information, and it's verified and confirmed. It's just that there's been a, I don't want to go any further, because they keep clamping down every time they learn of a new place people are getting information. But we're going to stop right there, and Wayne can say as much as he wants, but this is all public source and verified in his three articles. But you need to read all three parts. The story of Obama, all in the company. Part one, part two, and part three at InfoWars.com or WadeMadsenReport.com. And again, his site is weighed down. So if you can't get it there, InfoWars.com. People, a few new stories that came out this week. Here's Politico. Don't look, birthers. It's Obama's passport. As if his passport means something. Now, this came out on the heels of them shredding and destroying his mother's passport, which would be stamped where he was at what time. When he was born, the evidence shows, in Kenya, but we know he gave up his citizenship and became Barry Sitaro, like Anakin Skywalker became Darth Vader. He became Barry Sitaro and gave up his U.S. citizenship. That is confirmed. That's mainstream news. Okay, and they try to abscond that evidence by only focusing on Kenya. I'm not bashing those that do. It's just this is smoking gun. Now, here it is. Oops, Obama mama, passport destroyed. State Department claims records gone for Stanley Ann Dunham prior to 1968, around the time that old Barack Obama was born in 1961. Continuing, White House offers glimpse of President Obama's passport documents, shows birthplace is Hawaii. So they're desperate. They won't put out the original passport, just a receipt of it, okay, just a slip, not the real passport. And now they're doing this at the same time they destroyed her passport. Very, very suspicious. So I wanted to just point out they've been involved in a cover-up. Wayne Madsen, go over your groundbreaking report, the new stuff you've discovered, and other things you haven't put in part one or part two or part three. You've got the floor. Wayne Madsen, go over it.
Well, I started this investigation by looking at the company that President Obama went to work for after he graduated from Columbia, and it was Business International Corporation, and that was a company that had close ties to the CIA. They used some of their quote-unquote journalists as CIA cover officers overseas. Now, in his book, Obama says, I went to work for a company in Manhattan after I graduated from Columbia, but it was the company, the CIA. It wasn't a company, and he was very disingenuous with talking about that. This was a company that had access to some of the biggest, most powerful people in the world, including Soviet Premier Alexei Kosygin, Generalissimo Franco of Spain, and it, obviously this company did outreach to a lot of leftist leaders in places like Africa, in respect, and Asia,
they've
and
been
other,
involved
other
in a
parts
cover-up
of the world, including Latin America. And then I started looking at, of course, who in their right mind would do that unless you were, you know, being assigned to work for the agency in those days? I also looked at Barack Obama Sr. Now, he was airlifted. It was called Project Airlift Africa. It was funded by a $100,000 grant from the Joseph P. Kennedy Foundation. But that's because Tom Amboya, who was a Kenyan nationalist leader, pro-U.S., tied in with the CIA, decided he didn't want to take State Department money because that would look too suspicious. So it looks like they laundered some of this money through the Joseph P. Kennedy Foundation in 1960. Now, remember, John Kennedy's running for president then, so that's building up his national security credentials, helping out the agency. And the reason for bringing these 230 students from Kenya, Tanganyika, and other soon-to-be independent British colonies in eastern and southern Africa was to compete with the Soviets and Chinese, who were training their own leaders in these newly independent nations, and it was clearly to gain influence with these new governments.
So just to interrupt briefly, the bottom line historically is the British are the masters of this, but other governments have done it. That's why you had to be American-born to be president in the Constitution, because at the time our country was being founded, they had problems with the Austrians
sending their people into other European countries during the democratic revolutions that were developing to try to put their people into power there. And so this story of intelligence agencies pre-positioning people to put them into political power so they control nations is extremely old. And we also know that Kenya in the 40s and 50s into the 60s was the admitted declassified global model of covert takeovers and was the main base of operations aside from South Africa and Rhodesia for control of the African continent.
Well, right. And we got to remember the same year that Barack Obama Sr. was brought over in the CIA Airlift Africa project is the same year that the Soviet Union opened the Patrice Lumumba University in Moscow for the sole purpose of training people from these third world nations, these newly independent countries. So this petition, we of course didn't have a Patrice Lumumba University, but we ferreted these students among various universities around the United States, and Barack Obama Sr. was the first African student to attend the University of Hawaii, and he meets Obama's mother in where a language class.
So okay, your phone was cutting out a bit. He meets his mother again. Barack Obama Sr. meets Mama, and of course her daddy. You're going to get into has connections to the agency. He meets her where?
In a Russian language class at the University of Hawaii. Now, this is the height of the Cold War. The only people who would be taking Russian in a place like Hawaii, which was like a military, I mean, the military was all over Hawaii, the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, would be obviously people who were involved in some way, shape, or form with intelligence or were being recruited into intelligence. And Stanley Armour Dunham, the grandfather, there's a photo of him welcoming Barack Obama Sr. to the airport in Hawaii. Now, we were told that they met for the first time at the Russian language class. It's clear now, this furniture salesman, we were told Stanley Armour Dunham's grandfather was in the furniture business. It seems like he was in much, much more than just selling furniture.
Incredible. And then, of course, you have her then being projected into the big foundation under Tim Geithner's father. I mean, just on every side, you've got all these connections in the report. And then he's got a fake name. He's changing his name. We don't know where he's born. He comes from nowhere to become president. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming.
Well, and then we have a curious case of his grandmother, Madeline Dunham, who died right 2 days before Obama was elected president in 2008. The Obama campaign apparently didn't want her giving any interviews to the press. Maybe they were afraid she'd be like Newt Gingrich's mother with the Katie Couric interview and slip up and say something that would have embarrassed them. But she was one of the first female vice presidents at the Bank of Hawaii, and now, lo and behold, we find out that that bank was used by the CIA front company in Honolulu to make payments to these dictators in Asia, like Suharto and Marcos in the Philippines and Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek in Taiwan and the Park Chung-hee in South Korea and the Liberal Democrats in Japan, who violated their own constitution by secretly allowing the U.S. to station nuclear weapons in Japan during the Cold War. So this was the payoff. This was the CIA payoff network to these U.S.-sponsored dictators in Asia.
We're going to go to break and come back and keep going through your article that really puts all the pieces together that clearly this guy's an intelligence operative. We'll look at once he's in college, how he's sent to Pakistan, clearly in all sorts of secret ops. I mean, this is extremely clear. But also, if you really study deep intelligence, it's normally a family affair because then the whole family's connected. There's the peer pressure of the family. You can never leave. And so we see that pattern throughout history at the highest levels of intelligence. We'll continue to look at Barry Sataro, a.k.a. Barack Obama, the president, on the other side of this quick break with Wayne Madsen. You've got to read the report. Look at the photos. It is extremely damning. It's all at InfoWars.com and WayneMadsenReport.com. Okay, we're talking to Wayne Madsen, who is a top security expert at the National Security Agency, Naval Intelligence. Whenever you watch C-SPAN and you're seeing an Intelligence Committee hearing, you'll see him in the gallery as a press reporter. He's written for literally scores of top newspapers and publications. here in the country. And so a very top-level source and investigative journalist, WayneMadsenReport.com, has it all. Bottom line, before we go through more of the history, more of the evidence of this, what type of asset is Obama? What was their plan? Because he was nested at the highest level, both sides of his family, at the biggest foundations that themselves created the CIA. The way I read this in my past research, it appears that from very early he was put into the highest level schools being developed for where he is now.
And anyone who remembers the movie The Manchurian Candidate, that's exactly what they were trying to do with in that movie, setting somebody up. But in this case, it looks like it was the CIA that had their own Manchurian Candidate and groomed this individual for higher office, and he eventually got it. Now, one of the things that I found was some CIA files from the 1970s referring to behavioral science work being done by the Central Intelligence Agency. And one of the universities, and this comes from Richard Helms, the director himself, one of the favorite universities for behavioral science work, and let's face it, that was out of the Office of Science and Technology. That's MKUltra. That was Dr. Sidney Gottlieb's operation. One of the favorite universities for this research was the University of Hawaii, where Barack Sr. met Ann Stanley Dunham. And
so you're saying he's trained in mind control, or he's under mind control?
Oh, I don't know, but we know what MK Ultra was. It was extreme behavioral modification.
Yeah, the LA Times reported the Unabomber Theodore Kaczynski was in that program.
Well, another university, you know, some of the other universities mentioned in this were Yale, MIT, University of Michigan, and UCLA, and the University of Hawaii is singled out as the fifth favored university for this work by Richard Helms. Now, this work was done through the Advanced Research Project Agency, which was working, the guy, Lieutenant Colonel Kibler with the U.S. Army, was working on things like remote viewing. You know, you saw the movie Men Who Stare at Ghosts. That was what that was all about. So it was a multifaceted project that had but it was all into this weird, bizarro stuff.
Well, for me, the cherry on top, and we haven't covered 10% of the evidence in your article, is that the way they hide all his records, the way he goes right into college but is never there. He's all over the world. He's in hot zones. It looks like they were training him in all sorts of, in-the-field training from a very early age.
CKLN listeners, it is the 24th day of August 2010. It is a Tuesday. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening. This is your host BK, aka Black Krishna, aka Vijay Sarma, and hopefully you enjoyed that little extended clip of Wayne Madsen from the Wayne Madsen Report. WayneMadsen. WayneMadsenReport.com on the Alex Jones Show from last Thursday, the 19th. It's a big deal when it's exposed that the sitting president of the United States is likely a CIA creation, as were many of them. And it's important. It's important because of how much faith was invested in Obama. Even Kanye West on his song "Power," which I played on yesterday's show. Refers to the fact that they say I'm the Obamination of Obamization. Well, that's a pretty bad way to start the conversation. And so Kanye's kind of alluding to his conscious roots there, and saying, look, if you want to talk about him, don't just yell at me. And that's fair enough. That's fair because he's difficult to talk about. I remember arguing with tons of people. I mean, I was on the Obama thing back in April of 2008 is my earliest recollection, just because Webster Griffin Tarpley, who was on yesterday's Alex Jones Show, wrote a book, Obama, the Postmodern Coup. And then later on, well, just, you know, 3, 4, 5 months later, wrote another one, Barack H. Obama, the Unauthorized Biography. 2 books in stores before the November 2008 election of Barack Obama. And I was working on an album called Obamacide. I released a sort of first single off this mixtape project on October 30th, I believe, when he gave his I Win, or no, November 4th? November 4th. Well, I released it around then, and then I dropped my laptop, which had that version of the album I was working on it, and so my laptop busted, and that album's still in there, and then I reworked it and re-recorded it and then dropped it in March, April-ish of 2009, based on the work of people like Alex Jones, Wayne Madsen, Webster Griffin Tarpley, and others, because I it was difficult back then to talk about it. You know, people wanted to have hope, and they took the hopium pretty seriously that Obama was selling. And yet, I made the point, and other people have made this point, that because they brought him up so high, because they elevated Obama in people's minds so much, if we tear him down, the whole damn system could come with it. And that'd be good, because the system's attacking us. So, you know, you gotta scrap. You gotta take it on, and you gotta expose the big lies and the big liars. Also, I can't connect my MP3 player to the to this computer for some reason. So I'm playing Before the Riots Chill Out Mix Predux. I just pulled off the internets. I'm an album with myself, my former roommate Lucid Nights, who produced the music, and I kind of recorded this freestyle singing session over it. And still want to work on this album. haven't had the time or the right headspace. When you see how long it takes for people to make music and make albums and to do a good job, and then when you consider I got to go to bed around 10, 11-ish at night, and I can't record during the day because the neighbors are around, and at night I can, but blah, 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 blah. I got to go to bed early to come up and do the show. And so time is crunched regardless of the fact that I got a bunch of free time because there's all this craziness going on. But the point is that 30 years of riots are planned by NATO intelligence agencies and NATO militaries who've all released think tank reports on this from their own internal think tanks, and you can look up revolutions, flash mobs, and brain chips, an article from The Guardian from 2007 by Richard Norton Taylor, where he breaks down the Brits revealing this first. Then the Yanks did, and then I think the Canadians did. Canadian Army Predicts the Future is a YouTube video I have of me and my colleagues at TorontoTrueSeekers.com looking at the original Toronto Star article, which pretty much reflected the same thing, just a world of increasing crises that the military has to deal with. So that's why it's important to take on these sacred cows. You can't just, you know, go for the cheap shot. You can't just do the fake stuff. Because at the end of the day, there are people who are poisoning everything and messing with our minds and messing with our futures and messing with our money. And if we don't take care of that little problem, then you know, they could get messed with something fierce. But so that's Before the Riots, and this is me laying some vocal tracks for it, feeling out the groove I wanna carry out with the full album off producer Lucid Nights, brilliant instrumentals. But I want to play the Muse album, The Resistance, today because, this is an article from Infowars.com that I'm reading, which will help facilitate this process of taking on our sacred cows and take it down, some of the false idols that we've been given. And that is, Muse urges its fans to take the red pill. Rock megaband sends its millions of listeners to Alex Jones websites. It's by Paul Joseph Watson, Monday, August 23rd, 2010. Alternative rock mega band Muse have urged their millions of listeners to take, quote, the red pill and reject the Babylon system of mindless popular culture and meaningless music by inviting people to visit alexjonesprisonplant.com and infowars.com links on the band's official website. A Muse links page features their own Facebook and MySpace pages as well as some fan sites, but a special section contains just 4 links, 2 of which lead to Prison Planet and Infowars. And the third, or three, a third of that 4, leads to propagandamatrix.com, which is part of the same family, basically. And the other one's their web designer. So, you know. Why does any of this matter? Asked Paul Joseph Watson in the article he wrote. Because even before the release of their latest blockbuster, The Resistance, Muse had sold 10 million albums worldwide and won countless awards, including 5 MTV Europe Music Awards, 5 Q Awards, 8 Enemy Awards, 2 Brit Awards, and 4 Kerrang Awards. Muse's The Resistance album is the culmination of their increasingly public vocal opposition to the New World Order agenda and has topped the album charts in no less than 19 countries worldwide. The fact that one of the most popular bands on the planet right now is using its gargantuan public platform to encourage its listeners to educate themselves about the agenda for world government shows how deeply woven into the fabric of society the real resistance is becoming. It's not as if Muse is some Johnny-come-lately outfit who are exploiting a, quote, resistance gimmick simply to make profits. They've been on board with the genuine resistance from the start. It's been 4 years since we reported how Muse frontman Matt Bellamy wore a Terror Storm t-shirt during a headlining gig at the Reading Festival in England that was witnessed by millions watching on television and I'll add 80,000 fans at the stadium. And as we have previously documented, music and popular culture is the most powerful weapon in the elite world in keeping the masses distracted, dumbed down, and morally bankrupt. Amoral, vacuous, and nihilistic drivel from the likes of Lady Gaga, Beyoncé, Christina Aguilera, Rihanna, and Katy Perry keeps young women obsessed with meaningless drivel. He even said drivel twice. While thinking that it's mandatory to dress and act like a whore to be accepted by their peers, while the endless parade of moronic hip-hop artists, people like Puff Daddy, Kanye West, Jay-Z, 50 Cent, Lil Wayne, brainwash young men into thinking that acting like a superficial, moronic, money-obsessed, sex-obsessed thug who wears their pants around their knees and treats women like pieces of meat is cool. Now, may take issue with the dress code aspects of this as I might with Mr. Watson, but you know what? The idea of treating people poorly, being advanced in our pop culture, is not something that we can disagree with if we, you know, notice it, if we look at it, if we listen to this, you know, music. And so, you know, what are the results of that? And we have to ask, you know, are they worth indicting on this level so we can change it? Because if we all get pissed off at this, then we can change it, and more bands like Muse will, you know, will have a platform to muse about the biggest issues of our time. That's why it's so refreshing, and this is back to the article, to see a truly talented band like Muse singing about important and cutting-edge issues and being successful in the process, reaching millions of young people who might otherwise have been trapped in the Babylon system of popular culture that is warping young people's minds and turning them into depressed, disenchanted, powerless, and soulless creatures whose manipulated mindlessness prevents them from even being able to think straight amidst the ceaseless din of the psychological attack they are under from music and popular culture in general. The New World Order attack on our society is about more than politics, money, and power. It's about stealing the minds of our own children, filling them with self-destructive, humanist, postmodernist, spiritually devoid crap that destroys their innocence, their hope, their strength of character, and their moral compass. Featured below is Muse's video for Uprising, which has received over 16.5 million views on YouTube. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure out the message behind the song. And it's true. As you heard in the opening song of the show, they will not control us. They will stop degrading us. They will not force us. Even talks about a green belt and red tape, alluding to the UN Agenda 21 evil green agenda to micromanage our lives and tell us all to use less and tell us all to worry about the weather in 20 years instead of human beings now. Now, screw the war in Iraq, screw the war in Afghanistan, screw the wars all over the world, screw everything. We got to worry about the weather in 20 years, and we got to worry that we, ordinary people, are the cause of it. And then when they pull out some harp technology or some other crazy weather manipulation stuff and they start messing around anyway and it looks like a disaster movie like all the ones we saw in the 2000s, then they'll go, because they've got this whole narrative of blaming us, then they'll go, it's your fault because you didn't act fast enough. You didn't act right. You heard the warnings, and now, you know, there's hurricanes every week. And so on. So, I'd also like to make the point that, you know, it's been 4 years since, Matt Bellamy the lead singer of Muse, wore a Terror Storm on his t-shirt. He basically scrawled it on in marker. And then it was a plain white t-shirt, and he just, I guess at the last minute, he took a marker and wrote Terror Storm, which is a movie. It's called Terror Storm, A History of Government-Sponsored Terror, which goes through many declassified examples of state-sponsored terror, including 1954, the CIA's first coup against Iran, against Mohammad Mossadegh, the pro-Western and Western-educated leader of Iran, who was modernizing the country and allowing a lot of political and social and cultural freedom. And then he asked to nationalize the oil fields in Iran, and because British Petroleum owned them. And he was like, look, you guys can take all the money or most of it. We just want a little bit more, and we want to say that we own them. And BP went, oh, it's absurd. I can't believe you'd want to do that. And they got the MI6 folks, which is British intelligence, to work with their OSS, which became the CIA folks in 1954. And it was on CIA.gov, where they were actually proud of Operation Ajax, where they overthrew the government of Mohammad Mossadegh by posing as members of Mossadegh supporters, or having teams of people trained and sent in to do this, and then mow down innocent crowds and shoot up marketplaces and say, go Mossadegh, you the man. And then all the people got mad and went, ah, Mossadegh, you're such a prick. And then they staged a revolution, threw him out, put in their own puppet dictator, who created the Savak, the Iranian secret police, and terrorized the country for 25 years, and murdered, tortured thousands of people, and under the CIA direction, because of course the CIA put in their preferred leader after Mohammad Mossadegh was ousted. And I mention all this because, again, there's agitation for war with Iran, and so it's good to know the history of that. It's good to know that Iran knows the history of what the West has done over there, and you know, we have to understand, as the great comedian Chris Rock said, he didn't support Obama, but a lot of people did, and it's hard to know why. Although, you know, he's a black guy. He says, when my two daughters look up and see him, and they're so happy, it's like, all right. But he's right about a hell of a lot of things. And he says, when I'm in a fight with a man that's bigger than me, I know there's a zone I don't go into. I've mentioned it before on this show. I'll mention it again, because it's very important, because it's the basis for understanding geopolitics when it comes to Anglo-American manipulation. I mean, Ronald Reagan invaded Grenada in the 1980s, a tiny little country, and just wandered in there, messed around, and tested a bunch of new weird weapons. A couple of great movies on the Grenada invasion out there. You can check out yourself. But you know, they can demonize anybody. And Iraq, after 12 years of UN sanctions, strangling the country, denying the people resources, denying the government resources, denying them access to, you know, critical resources and infrastructure and technology related to weapons. You know, they were 12 years behind the rest of the world, you know, minus, you know, maybe some smuggling going on. But, you know, nothing that couldn't be caught and stopped if the West really wanted to with their surveillance technology. When you see them being sold as the most dangerous country in the world, and as Chris Rock said, you know, it only took America 3 weeks to take them over, and Bush to pose on a ship with a mission accomplished banner saying major combat operations in Iraq have ended back in March 2003, and them sticking around and mucking around and messing with the country for another 7 years, killing over 1.5 million Iraqis and displacing, you know, millions and millions more, in terms of making them homeless, ruining their country, poisoning it, causing ridiculous birth defects. Knowing the history of government-sponsored terror is crucial, because it shows what they'll do in terms of engineering events. And even recently, there was an Alex Jones campaign with a PDF anti-fluoride poster, you know, saying, you know, your water is poisoned. And then it goes into fluoride, and some of the admissions by the U.S. EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. Even they say, you can go to their own EPA website, and you'll see that they're like, yeah, get this out. It's bad. And this debate's been raging for years, and yet people accept that, because we've been told not to look for objective truth. We've been told that there are two sides to everything. There's this, there's no good and bad, there's no right and wrong. Anything goes. And that's starting to, you know, the limits of that are being pushed these days. as they introduced, you know, more things like pedophilia, intergenerational sex in all sorts of forms, pornography, violent pornography, bestiality, and other sort of tools of dehumanization, and keep us from understanding or logically working out the best truth when it comes to these things. And there was a false flag theoretically, possibly. This one's certainly unconfirmed, but somebody spray painted up a bunch of private citizens and private property with anti-fluoride warnings and Infowars.com, and something that Alex Jones and the Infowars family of websites and team certainly don't condone, tagging up somebody's private property. And Jones is like, well, why would you do that? Why, you know, why, don't do it. But I mean, why wouldn't you do government stuff? Like, why would you just go after citizens? And the media shows up and says, you know, here's some graffiti related to this website without, you know, an explanation, a disclaimer from that website and the owners of it, saying, you know, we don't condone this. And all we did, it's on our website, you can go check it, you mentioned it, is we said, put up posters in you know, in legal areas, legally, where it's lawful, where there are other posters, get people talking about this issue in your neighborhood, so they can see the amount of times this debate's been revisited, and perhaps take some steps to get the fluoride out of the water. You know, and here in Toronto, we should know, Vancouver, Montreal, most of Europe, don't use it. Towns beat it all the time. Thunder Bay beat it last year. Gatineau, Quebec just beat, you know, getting fluoridated this year, and so on. So, so the government could provocateur things, and it's the most important thing for the world to know, is that government stage events. And I interviewed Dr. Henry Mako yesterday, MAKOW, where he pointed out that we live in a stage managed culture, the Matrix, and all the big things that go on, and a lot of the big technology we get and so on. A lot of that stuff is given to us as part of a plan to take us along a certain path. And so I mention all of this because that's what the word terror storm on Matt Bellamy's shirt represented. Is if people go see Terror Storm, A History of Government-Sponsored Terrorism, if they pass it on to their friends, and it's one of the movies I strongly recommended for years and still do. And frankly, from a, you know, cineast or auteur perspective, it might be Alex Jones' best film, you know, in the sense that, you know, I might make a song about something more important, but I might make a better song about something else. And while government-sponsored terrorism is arguably a top five issue, his film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, talking about eugenics and talking about how the fact they want to kill us all, and they started, and if we don't stop them, then, you know, we're all going to be sick and dumb and miserable later. And poor, sick, dumb, poor, and miserable later. And sooner. You can see it happening now. I mean, we're in the sick, dumb, poor, miserable. This is the phase. You know, while Endgame... And it also revealed the Bilderberg Group, the most powerful cabal in the world, and so on. You know, if we get hip to that, you know, that in and of itself might be more compelling with respect to, you know, convincing people to frame a lot of the culture that way. You know, if you see the dehumanization going on and you tie it to eugenics, it might be easier for you to reject it. But the movie Terror Storm. In terms of the graphics, the music, and the editing, and just the way it was put together, is just a phenomenal film and a phenomenal documentary. And I was on a fellow programmer here, Stuart's Cinephobia show, to do an interview about that for about an hour or so, 45 minutes. So you can list, you can go online, you can Google Black Krishna, Terror Storm, Cinephobia, something like that. You can go to archive.org and find it. And you can download our conversation about Terror Storm, which he also saw and which he found compelling, though not totally convincing as someone doesn't look into this information a lot and corroborate it. So back to Muse and back to Terror Storm. He wrote Terror Storm on his shirt. And I commend, I didn't know who the hell they were, but I, you know, I was happy that a big band like that would do this. And I've been told by friends that Muse is huge, that Muse is a great big rock band and one of the biggest in the world, and they're like as big as Coldplay. And so you know, and I listen, I believe them. I listen to more hip hop and other music and talk radio, you know, then I do a lot of stuff. But I do listen to other things, and I do like what I've heard from you so far. And I did play an entire concert of theirs here, on a show while I was going off like this. And they're, you know, they're so what's notable about them being a massive band? You know, 16.5 million views for their Uprising video, over 10 million albums sold, and yet they, you know, they're to the best of my knowledge, as someone who does study pop culture, who does read, you know, the Yahoo News, and who does read the Metro, and who does keep, an eye on things. Not that I'm looking for it. I'm not looking deep. I'm looking shallow. But, you know, when I look shallow, I see Coldplay. I see Jay-Z. I see a bunch of other artists. And I don't see Muse. And I haven't seen Muse for 4 years. And I didn't see him before that, frankly, much. But at all, if I noticed him. I wouldn't notice him before that. But after the Terror Storm thing on InfoWars, I've been looking for Muse. Because I was like, oh, the Muse, the guy wrote Terror Storm, and they talk about this stuff, and they're trying to get the people hip to this while making it funky, you know, with their funky music. And I was looking for him, and I couldn't find him in our media here in North America. So I just type Muse into Google now, google.ca, and I'm going to click on news, and nothing here about Muse, except for one article, the one I just read from prisonplanet.com. Muse urges its fans take the red pill. That is the sixth article down in a Google News search of Muse. And then Wales Online, did Bellamy top these Magnificent Seven? And then nothing on Muse, one of the biggest bands in the world, and I'm 3 pages deep into Google News so far. And you know, maybe there's nothing going on with them right now, but you know, usually if you're a really big band, you know, there's something going on. NME.com blog, future sounds of Hendrix inspired Muse, Matt Bellamy to pick. And Kate Hudson, Matt Bellamy's new Muse, congratulations, he might be dating Kate Hudson. And so on. Okay, and so that's from Just Jared blog, and so we got a little bump from Kate Hudson there. The previous article on Muse was actually not on Muse. It was on a soccer team, and somebody musing about something else. My point is this: is that you can see, you know, what happens to bands that tell the truth, which means you know which bands are lying. You know, and we can all see that right now. And here you go. Left right paradigm is collapsing. It says here, Obamanoid reveals truth on Fox News. Oh, that's not nice. But let's take this to you a minute clip here of someone who's come around from the hopium, because again, he has been exposed to CIA creation in a 25-page article by Wayne Madsen, who is a former NSA agent, and yet he's done brilliant work since leaving the NSA. It's not like he's a double agent trying to mess with us, in the sense that he exposed Bill Clinton, he's exposed George Bush. He's just gone after corruption because it's, you know, threatening. So let's take you to Tatiana Shears from Fox News for a minute.
You both voted for Barack Obama. What kind of hope and change with regard to the job market, Tatiana, did you expect?
I expected way more change, but now doing the research, I realized that Obama is an illusion of change. He's a lot like Bush in many ways, and he's a lot like Bush in many ways.
And in what way?
It's a fallacy to actually believe that he cares about unemployment when he hired an economic team that's comprised of Volcker, Geithner, and it just shows you that these men were in the past three administrations, and they don't really care for the poor and the working class of this nation. But I'm not really I'm not so much disappointed in Obama. I'm also disappointed with the Republicans and the American citizens. Uh-huh. Far too many Americans keep falling for this left-right paradigm when the power structure at the top of both parties is corrupt. They're both sold to the bankers and the corporate interests.
Okay. Got one that can see.
Okay, and Mike, I know that one thing that really troubled you was that it started to dawn on you that maybe the young people actually will be paying for a lot of these programs in the future?
Oh, yes, definitely. And all these programs that are coming out, we are going to end up paying for them.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Tatiana Shears and a couple of former Obama supporters on Fox. Now, Fox is doing this because they're being Fox. Yeah, Fox is no good. But this is how you get the truth. You know, occasionally the right will go off on climate change, and they'll release something that's really good, like the ClimateGate emails on November 20th that were leaked that helped shut down the Copenhagen Treaty. Not shut it down. Delay, push back the Copenhagen Treaty. For world government, which basically wanted a UN tax on the whole world. They tax our governments, and our governments would tax us to pay them and fund the world government. And it's all based on the whole myth of climate change and global warming. And, oh, my God, 20 years from now, we're all going to die if you don't all use less and stop wearing pants. You can only wear shorts. Pants take up too much carbon to make. We can save 10% of carbon wear shorts. And all this is just utter nonsense. And there's a lot of this is philanthropy. There's an article from the London Independent here of cuttingthroughthematrix.com talking about here you go. The billionaires, beware of geeks bearing gifts as opposed to Greeks. You know, and they're giving half their fortunes to charity. The problem is that charity is to socially engineer all of us. And Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and all these people are all evil, and they were all allowed to get super rich by the people above them, the Rockefellers and the Mellon Scaifes and the people that can either allow you to become a billionaire or not. You gotta remember the tax exempt foundations they created, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the people that were products that where Barack Obama came from as well, that are seated with intelligence agencies. They're the ones who create the protest model. You know, let's all go yell in a field with people who know this stuff already and about people who aren't there, at people who don't care, at a bunch of cops, get them ticked off after 12 hours, get beaten up and go home. And that's it. And then no one in your community knows what's going on, no one in your city, no one in your country. And and then we vote for liars and we repeat lies. And none of these people do anything else most of the time, you know, to do anything else about this. And you can see there was 3,000 people at the No Prorogue protest, you know, whatever, a few thousand at the G20 protest. Where are they at when it comes to dealing with these issues any other time but getting together at a rock concert and yelling about them? And I'm not trying to diss you, but I'm trying to diss that. I'm definitely trying to diss that choice. No doubt about that. Because you know, and I got yesterday's Metro here, which I was looking for, and it says, you know, hundreds to appear in court on G20 charges, and this is all creating a brand new process, you know, to sort of, you know, normalize that. Get a grip, Smitherman urges TDC counselors for consulting on where to put a new office. This is what your mayoral candidate's talking about. You know, how much it's going to cost to look for a new office for the TDC? Ridiculous. MMA lobbying, mixed martial arts. There may have been some lobbying behind the scenes of the McGuinty government. Premier dad, as it were. A new law, not enough. Ex-RCMP watchdog. The former watchdog says, this new watchdog, law that we have is not a good watchdog law at all. And again, we're just told to accept this. Healthcare's future a concern. Here it is. And this is an Ipsos Reid poll that says Canadians expect to have worse health care and topping concerns over being able to afford retirement, 68%, and losing a job, 38%, are worried that they'll have to pay additional taxes to support the system. And this is also pitting us against old people, because we're, according to this poll, and polls are meant to shape public opinion as opposed to necessarily reflect it. Once they tell us this is how we think, sometimes we just go, yes, this is how we think, and so on. We think this. Now we think this. When we could think something else with respect to, you know, the decisions being made, as opposed to accepting the fact that we have to demonize people who may be in need of health care, and our health care is crappy, so we got to clean that out too. because it's controlled by Big Pharmacide. NATO's Afghan plea was turned down by Tories. The Tories trying to make themselves look good by leaking documents, leaking plans where they said, no, U.S., we won't send any more troops. We've already worked really hard on this war. And anyway, so just to give you a sample of the kind of crap that we're getting if we don't deal with this. Mr. Colin Smith is up next with your One Flight Up. I just like to remind you of a few websites to check out and share, as well as the idea that you can burn DVDs, put up posters, pass out flyers, share web links. Just get the info out there. We're not facing dogs and fire hoses. We're just trying to keep each other from getting cancer. And that ain't a bad idea. So do that. Go to naturalnews.com, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, infowars.com, henrymakow.com, and canadiansforhealthfreedom.org, pressfortruth.ca, torontotruthseekers.com, conspiracyculture.com, book a DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles. Go drop by Patrick and Canadian Spot, pick up some cool stuff. And get out there and talk about this stuff and talk about it in an empowering way. Like, you can do something about it. Like, you know, don't try and make the person doing something feel guilty. Try and make sure the system looks guilty, because they are guilty. It's not the end of the world, but they are. and so we just got to deal with that. On that note, I am out of here. Have a fantastic day. It looks warm and sunny today. So please do enjoy it. We'll see you tomorrow.